Monday, June 17, 2019, Dakota County Board of Equalization meeting at 1 o'clock, Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting at 1:02 p.m.
Kev's not over here?
I don't think so. He called in and I think he said he wouldn't miss out. Okay, I'm going to call this meeting to order of the Dakota County Board of Equalization. Let's please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. A current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county board meeting room and is available for review for all citizens in attendance. Roll call today. Kevin is absent, holding with another commitment, I believe. Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
All right. Now, the first item on the agenda for the Board of Equalization is consent agenda. Looks like we need an approval of minutes from our meeting on May 20th.
So moved.
Tony, I can second that. Roll call. Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Okay, we have one item as a new business item, and that is Jeff Curry is going to update us on some tax list corrections. Have that for us here today, Jerry? Or Jeff, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so what we have here, these are our what we call omitted property and clerical errors, and they're listed under statute 77-123 and 77-128. So we have seven in front of you today that we need to make a decision on. The first one is for parcel 2202-73983. It's at 3615 La Mesa Way. And the first thing we found wrong with it, would be a clerical error because we typed in the wrong neighborhood. It was a neighborhood 115 instead of 110. So once we fixed it and made the change, it went from 174 to 193,955. So we did that. We corrected it. They've seen it. However, then in reviewing it again, we found that once we fixed it, the depreciation got stuck. It should have 5% off of it, and it never calculated like everybody else on the block. So we had to go back in, manually calculate it, and fix it. So that is line item number two, same parcel number, but our final assessor opinion value for that parcel is 185.60. It's roughly an $8,895 reduction. And what we're looking at is probably to ours, if you look at the two far right columns, there's a our county and an all county. Our county tells us what the impact is just to this courthouse and to how we do business. And then the all county removes us from it and then takes the school and everybody else and what their impact would be if we make these changes. So it ended up being a loss of $3.42 of taxable revenue to the county and then $184 to everybody else.
For the year?
For the year, yep. And I did that on, we don't have, 19 levies yet, so that's based on the 18, and that's really about the best way to do an estimate now.
It's nice to have that breakdown. Yeah. In the past, that's a really nice worksheet to work out of.
Yeah, and I got it. We saved this template out on our valuation drive, so we'll be using this going forward can see what our impact really is. Mm-hmm. Line item number three is on 311 West 18th Street. It is parcel 26173. And on this one here, We had some basement finish listed on it, and it actually didn't have it, so we took it off. That was brought to our attention, so we removed it for the taxpayer. And then you can see there it was an 82-cent loss for us, and then a $44.29 loss for everyone, all the other taxing entities. We have a rural one here, which was 2470 M Avenue. On this one here, we had a resident. Let me, is this the one with the resident? Got to get my addresses right. So what we had is a residence that got demoed, and we never got a demo permit, or nobody knew about it. They came in and told us that it had been gone since 17, I want to say, or they started in 17. So we verified it. It's gone. They did tear it down. So the best we can do is fix it for 19, because he did notify. Technically, we should have been notified by January 1, but they still came in and told us. Yep. So as a benefit to the taxpayer, we removed that parcel. And that's going to be an impact of us of like $4.84, everybody else $1.88. After that one, then we have a neighborhood 104, that's South Sioux City Riverfront. It's 565 West 3rd Street. And on this one here, we had to make it, this is where Gary Ogden, he bought that big lot and he split it into three parcels. Mm-hmm. And then he's since built his house on it. And I think he's got a contract to build at least one more for the other two people.
He's got the other two lots.
Oh, he does?
He does
have them. Oh, he does? Okay, I knew he had one.
Yeah.
But what we did is, so when we split it, we gave the other two lots the correct value, but we never took it off of Gary's. Mm-hmm. So Gary was paying for everybody, and, you know, he's a nice guy and everything, but he said he wasn't that nice. So we're going to take that off.
Okay.
And we readjusted, so each of them are paying their one-third of the total value now.
So it's really not lost, it's off of his, but it's added to together.
Yeah, so everybody's got the right, so they're all valued according to our neighborhood table now. And that one there was $28, that I think is one of the biggest ones. That's a $28.57 loss to the county, and then $1,537 for everybody else. Then we had a 1517 260th Street, and this is another demo issue. And I don't even know if they have to get a demo permit to take down a grain bin, unless all the electric and everything's all hooked to it. But if it was just an old grain bin, which based on the value this was, I think they can tear it down on their own. But either way, nobody come in and told us until this year. So we did take it off for them this year. And that's a $2.28 loss for the county, and $78 for everybody else. And then the last one is on Oakdale Road. And this is is this Del Lieber's old block or brick house he's got? I've been out there. My deputy's been out. We've all been out there. The home's got issues, foundation's messed up. For some reason, when his rolled, it set him back up, I don't know how many thousand dollars. I think he went up to 86. So we went back in and reset his depreciation like it should be, and it's bringing his value down to 72,510, which is a $13,000 reduction. It's a $5.32 cost to us, $238 to everybody else, and it keeps his value still at 70. I think he paid 75. It's got 5 acres with it. The house isn't worth anything. The land's worth more. It's got a natural well in his basement, actually. Mm-hmm. If a guy wanted good water, he's pumping it out of the basement of that place all the time. I think he's burned out a couple pumps already. He's pumped that much water out of it. So we need to go out and look at it again, but based on the new, we got our pictometry in, so we went ahead and looked everything over again and fixed him down to 72,510. He paid 75, so I think, I didn't get a chance to talk to Dilbert again after he came in, but I'm sure he'll be back. But that's for Dilbert, and again, like I said, it's $5.32 to the county and $2.38 to everybody else. So what we're really looking at with the one positive and the rest negative, The county stands to lose, if we approve these changes, $37.91, and the school districts and everybody else will lose $1,876.45 between them. And that's the ESU, the school district, historical society, and all those.
So these are all reviewed by you and recommended?
Yeah, this is all, all recommend, they all have an assessor opinion recommendation on them. We had to get new pictures on some of them they brought us the pictures, but...
Perfect.
But we try to stay ahead of it and eliminate the number of protests we get. If we can meet with them first and there's a legitimate problem, then this is a different way we can bring it to the board without having to go through a whole protest process with a taxpayer.
Okay.
Very good.
So what we need is, if you agree with the changes, then the BOE, I think, just has to approve.
We can do the list as a whole?
This is different than a pro. I think we can. This isn't like protests. This is clerical.
Okay. So we just need a motion then to... I'll make a motion to approve the list of tax corrections as presented by Jeff Curry on the spreadsheet we have before us.
I'd second that.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Evan is absent. Larry?
Yes.
I should have asked if there was any discussion. I'm sorry. Any others? Okay.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff.
Nice worksheet. Spreadsheet, very nice.
Excellent. We'll just keep using it then.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very nice. All right. And any mail or emergency business for the Board of Equalization? No. Any public comment for the Board of Equalization? Well, it's 1:12. I ask for an adjournment, or do we need to ask for adjournment? Or I can just adjourn.
Yes.
Okay. I adjourn the meeting at 1:12.
All right. We'll go ahead and start our regularly scheduled county commissioner meeting at that time. Current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. Go ahead and take roll, jump.
Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin? Zapsit? Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Public comment. Anybody here wish to make any public comment on anything that's not... currently on the agenda for today? All right, we'll go ahead and move to consent agenda items. The approval of the previous minutes from June 3rd. Approval of accounts payable. Janet came in and her and myself went through accounts payable. There was just a few questions about some documentation. That's all been basically cleared up at this time, so everything seemed to be in order. Approval of official reports, clerk, register of deeds, clerk of district court, and also the approval of surplus sale report from 2019 for the surplus sale we had here.
So everything seems in order now.
Yeah, everything should be fine, Tony. Yep.
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda item from item A to D.
Second.
Tony?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yes. All right, new business. Board to approve payroll claims for the period of June 2nd to June 15th. Again, I came in, went through that, reviewed it. Everything seemed to be in order with regard to our payroll claims.
I can second that. Was there a motion? Oh, Andy's making a motion.
I'll make a motion to accept that.
Okay. Kevin is absent. Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes. Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
All right, we're going to go ahead and have a budget hearing for the purpose of support, opposition, criticism, suggestions, or observations by taxpayers related to amending the one county road, our road fund budget 300, and for the amount of $125,000 for additional money due to unanticipated expenses for flooding and weather-related road damage, and two, the insurance fund 1275 budget in the amount of $65,000 for additional money due for unanticipated expense for medical claims. So we'll go ahead and open that hearing at this time. At 1:15, anybody to speak in support? Anybody to speak in opposition? Anybody to speak on it with regard to anything else? All right. We'll go ahead and do we close the hearing? We'll close the hearing then. Kim Bovey, Dakota County Victims Assistance, requesting board approval for the VOCA grant for the Nebraska Crime Commission for the period of July 1, 2019 to June 30, 2010, in the amount of $99,787.
So that's what I requested. The Crime Commission approved $92,717. So there's a difference of $7,070. That would be divided in half between city and county to pay the difference. That's only if, depending on insurance costs. I don't know what the insurance expenses will be until January, so I really can't tell, but I'll just keep everybody up to date with where we're at on the budget.
So that would be, that money would be used if the insurance cost has gone up?
Yeah, if once the funding from BOCA is expended and I use it all, if there's a difference, then that's when I'd have to come back and let you know how much the difference would be. But like I said, it's all based off of the insurance expenses, and I don't know how much they're going to be. I have to do estimates on them every time I write the grant. So,
hey, Kim, there's a couple of pretty new board members on our board at this time. Could you just kind of give us a brief overview of what your program is and how many people are affected by your program? Ballpark.
Right now, the end of March, so the last grant year was from October 1 of 2017 until it ends June 30th of this year. So we've worked with, so far, the end of March, I think it was 1,366 clients. Those are the ones that we can help or work with. We just reach out to every victim in Dakota County, offer them services, or at least refer them to, you know, other agencies that can help them, that kind of stuff. We advocate for them in court, help county attorney's office get a hold of them if they're not having any luck with that. Just doing restitution stuff, getting them connected with Crime Commission for reparations, trying to get them some kind of money if they've been you know, a victim of like a violent offense, sexual assault, domestic violence, that kind of stuff. Anything else?
Great program.
There's a great program. You know, I've been involved for few years, and prior to her arrival, you know, that lady there used to run, you know, both of them, her and the other one, they do a good job. Good. Super. That's a good program. Great. Make a motion to approve the request.
So if you don't know until December, what's your amount?
It'll be in January is when the costs kick over.
Okay.
Even the insurance is the only thing that we don't know, right?
Really?
The insurance is the only hard number.
Yep.
That law enforcement board, we approved it, don't we, this time?
Yeah. So. And the city council approved it, too, the night before that. So.
Yeah. So that's my motion.
I'll second it.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
All right, well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, approval of the special designated liquor license for wine sampling event at Dakota Thurston County Fair on August 2nd, 2019, from 4 to 8 p.m. And we have the application.
Is somebody here from that?
They were here, the fair people were here getting approval of this, and this is the actual license that has needs the chair's signature. This is an event at the fair that you had approved.
Yeah.
A special, okay. You know.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yep. So they're actually just getting a license.
Yeah.
Sure. Oh, so this is Heidi's doing an event at the fair.
Yeah, they're gonna have a wine tasting.
Okay. Make a motion.
Yes, your motion.
So it's to grant a special designation license to Heidi for the Dakota County Fair on August 2nd from 4 to 8.
Second.
Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
All right, miscellaneous. Fred Kellogg, Highway Superintendent for Road Report.
June 2nd through June 15th, 402 hours of road maintenance, overtime 11. Culverts project, 6 hours on Park Avenue, gravel hauled. 3,655 ton. Wheat spraying, 13 hours. Signs and barricades, 21 hours. Road concerns, grading 230th Street.
Are we done using that extra trucking that we were at this point?
Yeah, he's just finished. He'll probably be done here tomorrow or the next day. But yes, he is going to be done.
Fred, how many ton of gravel? How many ton of gravel have we hauled since this spring to date?
You can average out about 2,500 ton for every 2 weeks.
Well, we got 35.
I can't give you a total this
year. This is 2 weeks here, isn't it?
Yes.
At 30.
35. That was a pretty good week. I'm just saying, you know, we haven't always had an extra truck running since the first of the year. Our straight truck, we might have only been just two trucks instead of three semis in the straight truck like we've had.
So it could be for sure 5,000 a month. What do you anticipate for the rest of the year?
Oh, we should be slacking off. We'll be down to, once we start projects, we'll take one of our drivers off and he'll be on projects, so we'll just be down to one truck home.
So it'll be about 30,000 ton for the year.
Yep.
Do you have any concerns right now or places where you're just still building, you know, where you're trucking a lot of loads to at this point? Are you just kind of hitting bad spots?
Yeah, we're Perry Avenue and 260th is where we're at right now, trying to get them
shaped up.
That area there back in the shape.
And the culvert looks good?
Yep.
And
we're going to put the one out for bid on Hall Avenue, as we talked last Monday. I got one ordered. There's a culvert that got forced out and destroyed on S Avenue. It's been ordered. It's a 7-footer. So,
and then the bridge, did they get out and redo the little bit?
No, they have not.
Okay. All right. But they plan on it?
Yes, they do.
When they get a chance. Okay.
What's the odds of getting the high bridge north of Jackson secured for the winter?
Hopefully.
Can we get any money from him?
It all depends on what he's using for design. He's supposed to be up. I talked to him. He was at our meeting in Valentine this last week. And he is supposed to be up here this week to look at what he does. Of course, we know the east wall's got to be backfilled and everything. But he is more worried about the scour hole behind the bridge, you know, downstream. He says that that's, if we don't secure that, that's.
Yeah, that's pretty big area too, to the upstream side on the east side too.
Yeah. Are you talking scour hole? Are you talking? You're talking about the area back behind it, or the depth of that area also?
The depth of it is what happened. Is that goes out and it also goes down.
Down.
Mm-hmm. And they're actually one of the few bridges he said he's ever used a boat to actually inspect the bridge.
Did he say how deep that the scour?
He hasn't been.
I know it has to do with the.
I did not.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But his plan now is to build a little. I always call them little coffer dams, but he's going to build this one out of concrete on the downstream, on the north side of the bridge, to keep that.
Water runs slower.
Yep. So they have one on the upstream, and every engineer I've talked to, except the one that designed it, says that it's not a good place.
But what those up creek there, then they dry poly and then put riprap in them and around them and stuff and below them? I thought they drove sheet piling in there.
He's actually talking about forming it in concrete. So
a hell of a job though with the river. The river don't go down until October, November, like you're talking about. I don't know how you deal with all the water.
I don't either. Right? But he's supposed to be letting me know this week.
Well, I suppose you go in there and drive a sheet pile in there, you know, and run the water
and
work inside of it, I suppose, like you do on your bridges, beers and stuff.
Could even get the sheet piling underneath the bridge, would it be?
Well, I assumed he was going to go downstream.
Yes.
40 foot from the bridge. See? But yeah. Okay, the abutment of those bridges, the pile cap, to me they're pile caps, do they have sheet piling across behind them?
The piling that's going in?
Yeah, you got your H pile.
Yep.
Probably 4 or 6 of them or something, and they pour a pile cap on them, all right? Down, you know, 8 foot or something. All right, between the county road and the bridge, is there sheet piling in there? Mm-hmm. Or do they pound on that pile cap to keep the dirt back?
No, it's just right off the approach. Your sheet piling right off your approach. And that's what, once that scour is out of there, they're afraid that sheet piling kicks out on the bottom.
Oh, so the sheet piling don't go down 60 foot or not?
No, not at all. Sometimes there's a 30 to 40 foot, Larry, all depends on what they're, I don't know what the depth of those are.
So that'd definitely be a priority because that'd be an expensive bridge to do anything with. So, all right. Thank you, Fred.
Yep.
Thank you, Fred.
All right, next, Sheriff. Come on.
Okay. So in May, our average inmate population was 116, 27 of them federal, 89 of them county. Calendar, 2019 calendar average 114, 20 federal, 86 county. And fiscal average 113, 26 federal, 87 county. May marshal income was 50,000, almost 51,000. ICE was 8,000. BAA, $65, so total for the month of May was $59,000. Fiscal marshals were at $508,000. ICE, $116,000. BIA, $2,100. So fiscally, $627,000. May contracts, we got in $5,519, and fiscal contracts, $59,000. In May, we average cost of $49.82 a day, the average cost of per inmate. Jail spent $181,000 for the month of May. We're at 91% of the total budget, 1% under budget for the fiscal year. 90% of the total estimated yearly budget in May. We spent $20,000 less than allotted for the month of May, so it put us 10% under for the month. Bookings in May, Sheriff's Office at 34, PD at 42, NSP 1, self turn-ins 18, feds 35, and other 4. As far as them bookings, 45 of them were from Dakota County, other Nebraska states 28, or excuse me, counties, Sioux City 36, Iowa 21, other states 3, and homeless 1.
All right, looks like the daily average is good on the what it's costing you to house a prisoner right now. That's a good month.
Yeah, that was a good month. And just prior to coming down here, I got a call from the marshals. So Woodbury County, remember I talked to you the other day at the meeting, Woodbury County is hurting for space. They've limited their federal holds down to 5 beds. So when I talked to the marshals this morning, actually Mark did, I haven't called him back, I haven't had time. They're looking for more bed space. We guaranteed Mark, we can house 60 in your jail if you had room, but we don't. So I hate to do that. So we're working something else with them. So they're driving up to other counties to house some of these inmates. So what we're going to work out with them is that they can bring their pretrial, pre-arraignment people here, and we'll switch them for people that have longer times. It's going to be a lot more traveling for them and us. And that way we keep them here for a couple of days, we get them through their trial process, and then they go back to another county jail until they're sentenced. So, gosh, you guys, I had 50 beds, 50 full.
Yeah.
You know, the sad part is I can't guarantee you how long, you know, if Woodbury County builds a jail, I'm sure they're going to build it plenty big enough to accommodate these guys, because that's good revenue for them.
Yeah. Yeah. By the time you get anything done, the time would probably pass. How many are you comfortable if the population's, if our regular population stays about the same, how many are you comfortable holding about what you've been holding?
Well, so I don't know if I've talked this last board I did. So what jail standards suggest is you only go to 80%. You only fill your jail up 80%. That's what most sheriffs do, just because. Well, with packing houses and stuff here, I usually run 90 to 95% full. I've never been at 80%. Well, here and there, since I've been in the jail. We barely, at any given weekend, we maybe have 6-7 beds. So we're typically, I mean, if something big happened and I needed to incarcerate a bunch of people, I don't know what we'd do with them.
Your 136 is your full.
Yep. Max. That's counting beds and work release, which the AC is out again. Doesn't quit every year.
And what do they do to, I mean, do they replace?
Never. Since I've been in that jail, it's never worked
properly.
Never.
Okay.
Jesse's constantly out there doing stuff. Now, who's the last maintenance guy? I forget his name.
Chase.
When he was here, he fixed some stuff up there. We didn't have as much problems in the front part, but the HVAC system in that jail has never worked properly. So what happens is it gets so hot. Usually the main cells aren't too bad, but it gets so hot back in work release and in the offices that it's just, I don't know how to fix it. I get sick of calling them. We've probably spent $50,000, $60,000 in the last couple of years to no avail. They don't fix it. I'm very angry about it, as you can tell. If there was windows, I would say, open the window and quit complaining. But there isn't.
No windows, huh?
All right, well, very good.
I was watching Dakota County paperwork shows, you know, people that were arrested or whatever. Mm-hmm. How does that tie to this report?
So what Mark does when he does this report, he takes all of the information that comes into the jail for the month, and he's got a sheet he does all that on, and that's how he figures up these averages. Are you asking me, when you read about people being arrested, how does
it? The Dakota County paper will say, you know, driving under the influence, or no license, or whatever.
So basically, what those guys are getting that information off the court computer, Kim, am I correct? They get that off of...
It's just a small percentage. They only,
so once you're arrested and she files something, that's public information. And I think that's where the media gets that information. Just because I have them in jail doesn't necessarily mean they're going to get charges.
So that's after...
Yes, that would be the actual people that are being convicted. Am I close? Am I saying that right?
Yeah. So the 134, we might not really know exactly what their situation is until they actually go through the court system.
Correct.
Right.
This 134 is just for the bookings in May. That's just how many people they booked. Now, they could have booked somebody that didn't get files charges on, so they leave or something like that.
And the majority of them are going to bond out. they're not going to be actually sitting in our jail.
Okay.
So that 134, there might only be 20 of them that are in our jail because, you know, most of them, when they get arrested, can bond out or somebody can post.
It just depends on where you get the information. If you're going up to the computer up there by the county courts and you're getting that information up there, that's what the courts have seen. That isn't necessarily what I have in jail.
Okay.
Does that make any sense?
What you have in jail is the top line, correct?
Correct. Well, what did you say?
The top line is your average in jail.
Yes, that's averaging.
Okay.
And, you know, I don't know. I've asked him about this before. That seems funny that it always seems like it averages like the one. I don't think that's accurate either because we're always full. I don't know why it always averages out less.
Well, like, for instance, I know I used to see in the report notes it would say, for instance, no documentation to be here. But I see every month we have so much income from ICE and what have you. But I'm not really seeing that we're really even can have any of that in the court notes anymore. So that seems weird. Either we've really kind of changed things up a little bit in who we're bringing in, or maybe, I don't know.
I think what happens when you see the thing, you get the list, and there's like six or seven people that have been, you know, they're just getting a small window of what's actually happening. They're not getting everybody who has a disposition that week, I don't believe, because there's got to be more cases than that going through.
Yeah, there's always 10
just, or 12
on a given week in the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been trying to back into this number.
Like, wow, that doesn't even reflect.
Either they're staying in there for a really good long time, that we have 100 and some. I don't know.
But I think you said something right, that there used to be a lot of more names on the South Sioux City Star, you know, a lot of more cases, but it all depends who's get that information, as you just said.
And where they're getting it from.
Where they're getting from.
So that doesn't come from his office, then?
No, it's not that I'm opposed to that. But
it doesn't come from either one of these.
So it's not really.
Okay. That's probably why I can't figure out how
many
things are adding up.
So it's a waste of time to read the paper.
Oh, it's been a waste of time to read the paper. No, I'm not kidding. I quit reading the journal over this 2017 because they lied so much. And I'm saying that publicly because it's true.
Well, how come you can get electronic?
This is the star guy right here.
I know. There's been a journal guy just left.
And it was just one particular person that I talked to. And then some other reporters told me why that happens and why they're doing that, and it doesn't make any sense to me. So I quit. I don't.
So you report what you see in your at this
gathering. Yeah, it always gets contorted and turned into stuff that isn't true, and then it puts words in my mouth that I didn't say, and it gets frustrating. You know, I know they want news, they want people to pick up and read and watch the news.
Yeah,
but that sometimes conflicts with facts. So
the fairest way to do it.
It's like I look at it like one of these reality shows, but only it's in the paper or on the local news. Just like a constant reality show. Anyway, you don't want me to get into that.
No, thank you very much.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Thank you, Chad.
Very good. All right, we're going to go to C, approved resolution 19C-019. For overextended budget, highway superintendent. Whereas the office of highway superintendent will exceed his budget with June payment of payroll and accounts payable claims, and whereas the emergency exists, and whereas noxious weed budget will be having an unappropriate monies left, to be therefore resolved that the Dakota County Board of Commissioners hereby authorize the unappropriated monies for noxious weed budget of general fund to be utilized for the payment of the over expenditure budget of the highway superintendent for general funds, that said budget be increased by $200 to $61,709.60 for fiscal year 2018-19. Be it further resolved that the noxious weed budget be reduced by $200 to $28,762.42 for fiscal year 2018-19. So that's what our resolution is on this day, 17th, 2019.
So that will be $200?
We're transferring $200 into the
noxious weed into highway superintendent.
And this is primarily because of our flood. We've had over budget issues.
Well, the $200 is for a piece of equipment that okay. we needed, and we were at the end of the budget year, so we slid the $100.
Yeah. I'll make a motion to do that.
Second.
Tony?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep. Next, we'll go to Resolution 19C-20, Resolution to Appropriate Transfer of Funds for Over Expenditure of the Budget, whereas the budget of the Road Bridge Fund 300 will exceed its budget with a payment submitted June 2019, payroll and accounts payable claims, whereas an emergency exists and a hearing to amend the budget was held in compliance with Nebraska State Statute 13-511, and whereas the Inheritance Fund 2700 and Road Bridge Fund 300 cash reserve have appropriate monies left, be it therefore resolved that Dakota County Board of Commissioners hereby authorize the appropriate monies of cash reserve of the Road Bridge Fund and unappropriate monies and Inheritance Fund to be utilized for the payment of the over expenditure of the budget of the Road Bridge Fund, the said budget be increased by $125,000 to $2,019,447.89 for fiscal year 2018-19. Be it further resolved that Inheritance Fund transfer by claim $125,000 to the Road Bridge Fund to cover cash reserve $100,000 and over expenditure road budget $25,000, and that the Inheritance Fund be decreased by $125,000 to $490,905.03 for fiscal year 18-19, passed and adopted on the 17th day of June 2019. And that would be for the bills that we've had with regards to our flooding.
Yes, that is the flooding one that, yeah. that we're dealing with.
Yeah.
The culverts and the
gravel and all of the additional services that we've had to render during that season. Any other discussion on that?
So the fund that we approved the borrowing on, this is kind of the in-between, in addition to that.
To the bonds that we had, yes.
Right.
There's not been a major amount of money spent so far. That's yet to come, the way I understand.
Yeah, that's true.
With the bridges and the culverts, they got to get replaced. And mm-hmm. Well, those are already purchased down to Homer, but that big one out there.
Mm-hmm. Most of this
is gravel.
Most of this expenditure are the couple hundred thousand dollars of gravel that we did plan on buying this spring.
Over budget on gravel and stuff.
Was it actually over 200?
Well, I don't know that 200 is the exact number, but we're way over on gravel. I mean, we're over that $125,000, I know. I would.
The bottom dollar is just $125,000.
Yeah. There's a lot of work yet to be done out there.
Oh,
far,
so oh yeah.
Elevating areas are washed out. The roads have not been fixed yet.
Mm-hmm. A lot of work, for sure. So hopefully that $1.5 million and the bonds will cover those costs.
This is just to get us through this year because it was unexpected beyond what we would normally put out. Okay. Yeah. I'll make a motion to. And actually, we drove the roads, and it seems like there, I mean, I was drove country roads all my life, but I mean, there's a more pretty good gravel. They're doing some ditch work. I just said there's some areas where it's a little rough, but they're making some progress.
Oh, yeah, I would say for sure. I would second that.
Okay. Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
All right. Next, we have the Board of Commissioners, Resolution 19C-021, Resolution for Appropriate Funds for Over Expenditure Budget, whereas the Budget Insurance Fund, 1275, will exceed its budget with the payment submitted June 2019 accounts payable. Whereas emergency exists and a hearing to amend the budget was held in compliance with Nebraska State Statute 13-511, and whereas the jail tax bond 3301 fund will have an unappropriated monies left. Be it therefore resolved that Dakota County Board of Commissioners hereby authorize the unappropriated monies left in the jail tax bond fund be utilized for the payment of overexpended budget for the insurance fund, and that the said budget be increased by $65,000 to $1,120,432.18 for fiscal year 2018-19. Be it further resolved that the jail bond tax fund transfer claim by $65,000 to insurance fund, and that the said jail tax fund be decreased by $65,000 to $25,320.07 for fiscal year 18-19, passed and adopted on the 17th day of June 2019. And that has to do with the way that the insurance has increased so dramatically over the last several years, but most recently this year. Any discussion with regard to that resolution?
So the reason of this resolution is because the claims that we have
medical
complaints. Well, there's no choice. I don't think do I make the motion to approve the resolution 19C-0-2022.
Is that county employees or is that the jail?
I give it my best guess back on July 1st. You know, and you just average it from previous years, but we've just had
and it's gone up.
We had another really bad year, and you saw that when we renewed, and those claims are still, the medical claims are still coming in, so.
It went up about $3,000 a month. Or no, about $3,000 per person per year. We have about 100 people, so, you know, $300,000 increase, ballpark. You know, a little less than that, but.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of money. Yeah. $12 million.
So that's my motion.
So basically, we would, and I can second that. So basically, we're just kind of moving some funds from some accounts that have a little extra money into the ones
that are just tax bonds that they wanted us to close, you know?
Yeah.
So we're taking it from that.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Okay. Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Resolution 19C-022, resolution to appropriate transfer funds for over expenditure budget, whereas 971 miscellaneous flood will exceed its budget with the June payment accounts payable, whereas the emergency exists, and whereas 970 miscellaneous budget will have unappropriated monies left. Be it therefore resolved that the Dakota County Board of Commissioners hereby authorize an unappropriated money of 970 miscellaneous budget for the general fund to be utilized for payment of over expenditures of 971 miscellaneous flood for the general fund, and that said budget be increased by $125,000 to $261,439.95 for fiscal year 2018. Be it further resolved that 970 miscellaneous budget be reduced by $125,000 to $1,786,770.50 for fiscal year 2018-19, passed and adopted this 17th day of June 2019.
Okay, this is the we only had 70,000, but I did, again, it was kind of a guess, but in flood claims this month, and that, of that 1.5 million is going to come in this month. So as soon as we get that 1.5 million, it's going to cover this. Mm-hmm. But right now, we have a function in the general fund called 971 miscellaneous flood, and so that's where that 1.5 million is going to go, and where all of the expenses for the flood are going to come out of.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started paying those, and I did not have the budget authority in there for this disaster. You know, I just all I had in that budget was payments for the flood bond principal and interest for the 2014 flood event.
And I would guess that would be pretty typical. I mean, about this time of year, you kind of know exactly, or you get the last 2 weeks.
We're at year end. That's why you're getting all this. We're at budget year end. It's June 30th. And you cannot have a negative function. You cannot show that you approved claims when the money was not there.
Wasn't budgeted.
Was not there. So you're just moving the budget authority around a little bit.
Right.
It's there. It's not, I mean, we're not.
It's not right in the right category,
right.
But we're getting it there.
Yeah.
Gets it there.
We're just moving it around to.
Mm-hmm. It's an item to necessity.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah. I can make a motion to move the miscellaneous funds, whatever, resolution 19C-022.
Okay.
To basically adjust between those two accounts.
I'd second that.
Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
All right. Resolution 19C-23, resolution for closing funds. Whereas the Dakota County has the following funds. One, fund 33,000 jail bond. Two, fund 3301 jail property tax. And three, fund 4,010 handicap accessibility. Whereas Dakota County has determined there is no longer need to have such separate funds, therefore it be resolved that funds 3,300 jail bond, 3301 jail property tax, and 4,110 handicap accessibility be closed as of June 30th, 2019. The county treasurer is directed to transfer all monies remaining in those three funds on June 30th, 2019 to the general fund. The county treasurer is further directed to automatically transfer any further collections on said funds directly into the general fund. Resolved the 17th day of June 2019. And this stuff is a recommendation from our auditor. There were some funds, additional funds that we had, and they were not being used, and they thought that it would be time to close them up and just streamline everything and be a good time to do it.
Just give advice. Make the motion to accept the resolution 19C-023.
Second that.
Tony?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep. All right, last but not least, Board of Commissioners, Resolution 19C-024, resolution to appropriate transfer of funds for over expenditure budget. Whereas the Office of County Sheriff will exceed its budget with June payment of payroll and accounts payable claims, whereas an emergency exists, whereas the budget of the public defender and legal services will have unappropriated monies left. Be it therefore resolved that Dakota County Commissioners hereby authorize unappropriate monies from Public Defender and Legal Services budget to the General Fund to be utilized for the payment of overexpending budget for the County Sheriff's Fund of the General Fund, and the said Sheriff's budget be increased by $30,000 to $1,452,365.20 for fiscal year 18-19. Be it further resolved that the public defender budget be reduced by $15,000 to $206,663.24, and legal services budget be reduced by $15,000 to $227,950 for fiscal year 18-19, passed and adopted on this 17th day, June 2019.
If I may, Mr. Chairman.
You bet.
So that basically what that is reimbursement from overtime grants that goes into the general. I'm not over budget, so that money's sitting in there and it has to be transferred. I don't know. Joan can probably explain it better, but.
Okay. So the overtime that's worked gets transferred into, or eventually gets transferred into the general
fund. I pay the overtime out of my budget when it's for these safety grants.
Okay.
And that money gets sent from the state at some point, and it gets put into a separate line item in there.
Okay.
So
with the
it's expended out of the sheriff's budget, and then we do a journal entry to show it expended out of the grant budget and take it from the sheriff, but that has not been done yet, and I don't have the exact dollar of figures for the reimbursement, so this is just...
So basically what we're doing, we're being able to make sure that we can meet our obligation at our last pay period. That money will be refunded back into the general fund from the grant, so it's not so much that the office is over budget.
It's just kind of the timeliness
of it.
Yeah, it's
just kind of the timeliness of
it. It's happened before. I know it's happened before, but
in a year.
Yeah. It should have, we should have addressed the grant situation in May, and then we would have known, and it might have been $2,000 or none, you know, $2,000 or $3,000 or none, because you looked at your grant overtime, and it was close to $28,000.
So when we take it out of public services and legal, it's really going to come out of another grant.
It's all in general fund.
It's all in general.
And it's all in general fund. I'm allowed to, you're allowed to do a resolution between the functions, the offices, the functions, they call it, and the general fund. So we're just moving money. We are not changing the total dollar amount in the general fund. Yeah, we're not going over budget in the general fund. We're just
shuffling.
So that we do not show that we've expended money that's not budgeted authority there to do that.
All right. Well, that sounds good. It's going forward, we'll just... track that a little closer, and then we'll get her figured out so we don't get in this situation. Thanks, Sheriff.
Thank you. But this is the last month of the year.
Last month of the budget year.
Did you make a motion, Tony?
I'll make the motion.
I'll second. Okay, very good.
Leave it, Chair.
Thank you.
What time?
1:56.
All right, Commissioner.
Hey, I got to call roll. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, okay. What is call roll there?
Janet.
Yes.
Marty.
Yep.
Tony.
Yes.
Larry.
Thank you.
All right, Commissioner Committee reports. Anybody got anything?
I had a couple things.
All right.
I went to the county board meeting in June 5th, and I don't know, I should go talk to Jeff about this, but there's the LB 512 got passed. You know what that one is about? The property, if the property's been damaged by 20% or more, you can file for a review, reevaluation. So if that's residential or farm property, I thought that was kind of, they spent a lot of time talking about that in the form that you have to use to report a destroyed real property, Form 425. So we went through that. It was very interesting.
It'll be interesting to see, you know, how many people do that. And I know in a lot of counties, they're really going to be scrambling because there's going to be a lot of people affected by that.
So I think the timeline was up till July something. July 15th, maybe?
July 15th.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of throws a little wrench in things, but yeah. So anyway, that was an interesting conversation. And then I went to Growing Community Connections meeting this last week. And I think Olga's been to some meetings here, and she invited us, somebody from the commissioners group, to come to a training. They're having at El Rancho tonight, Know Your Rights training. I won't be able to make it because I have another meeting, but if anybody is interested, I wanted to extend the invitation.
Okay.
She invited our group.
Well, thanks for going out to the meeting and Kearney. Like I say, you make a lot of good contacts with those and get a lot of good information.
Good information.
I don't have anything. So, mail and emergency business.
Everybody received a copy of the notice of hearing from the City of Dakota City. They are looking at a redevelopment amendment to their redevelopment plan, basically for that parcel that's below 164th, east of Highway 77, you know, that pasture there. What?
Which one?
And that's tonight at 5 o'clock, I think.
Is 77 is that main road right down?
Yeah, it takes
Highway 77. So
from the intersection
east of Highway 77 and north of Broadway and below 164th, that little parcel there. They're having a
In the blue here?
Yeah.
So it actually takes it all the way down to the railroad tracks, it looks
right,
like.
Yeah.
And up around. So it'll be that triangle
west
piece.
Of the railroad tracks.
I know Loves have a bunch of farm ground in there and Windsor Court's in there. And so. All right.
So that hearing's tonight?
Yeah, 5 o'clock.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
6 o'clock, June 17th.
Okay. I might stop down there. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Joe. This, what is the date? Is this date, is it 6-17 to 6-17?
That's the date of the accounts payable claims that are processed and approved with your board meeting today.
For the past month or the past 2 weeks?
Yes, we pay once a month.
Yeah, that's what this
that's is. What that is. That's not payroll, it's all the accounts payable claims like you helped mm-hmm. Marty review that stack.
Speaking of which, in 2 weeks, if you're not doing anything, Larry, we could get together and do that again. Mm-hmm. If you want.
1 month. It's his turn.
What's that?
1 month.
In 1 month, yeah. Okay, I'll remind you.
Janet beat me out this last time.
Were you supposed to do it this time?
Yeah.
Some of them might, when I'm supposed to, I'll put it on my calendar.
He's picking on you. All right, if nothing else, we're going to go ahead and adjourn.
Okay. 201.
Almost. That's more